News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. And by the way, if you usually listen to us on AM, FM, but you find yourself getting outside the range for whatever reason, which is, you know, pretty much means you're out of North Alabama, South Tennessee. If you're outside the AM, FM, though, just know it don't matter. You can go to rightsideradio.org. It's our website, rightsideradio.org. Got all kinds of stuff on the website. One of the things we have on there is listen live option. Just click on listen live, and I say it every day, no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we got people that take us on vacation. We got people that call in from out of state. We got people down in South Alabama that listen to the show. I'm saying, I mean, it's very cool. And so our audience is very broad, in part because so many of you download the podcast, you listen to us live online, and we appreciate it because this show is what it is right now because the audience has made it successful. Hey, I gotta tell you. I got the triple dipper, right? Military mandates are where I'm heading. I just told a story about the 6th Ranger Battalion overcoming some things on behalf of the people they were trying to rescue in World War II, and really the people they were trying to rescue overcoming, for that matter. But I'll be honest with you, somebody sent me an email yesterday that was just so way cool, kind of fits in the middle of the moment, but I'm going to go ahead and just sort of go through this email. I enjoy it, by the way, when folks send me stuff. Sometimes it's just like, hey, Phil, why didn't you say this? Or, hey, Phil, here's a story you need to know. And I answer the ones I can. I use the ones I can. Every once in a while, though, I read one, I go, yeah. And this is one. So my thanks, I believe the person's name is William. The name is not actually attached. But if you're listening right now, sir, you will know that I'm reading your email. Because here's the deal. I found this in other places in life, too, but in the military especially, when you're going through some type of a, you know, incredible experience, a lot of times it takes you way out of your bubble, takes you way out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you got to find reasons to laugh. Sometimes you got to find reasons to just sort of catch the moment and make it your own, even though you don't own yourself in a sense, if you know what I mean. Well, he says here in this email, he says, Phil, in 1965, I was an E5 and OCS at Fort Sill and training for 32 weeks. They really tried hard to make you drop out. We even had a POW camp where they actually tortured us. One guy in my class broke his leg. He graduated on crutches. I got the idea that we should use all this stuff we were learning and should run an op against our TAC officers. That's your training officers, our TAC officers. Not only will we get to eat some great chow, we would also improve our morale and put one over on our tormentors. So there was an A&W root beer stand in Lawton. That's Lawton, Oklahoma, right outside Fort Sill. So we decided we would call in an order for our platoon, and then we would hide in the latrine that night and have an A&W party. He says, so we set up all the logistics, the lookouts, tracking the officer of the day, making sure the delivery time, consumption, camouflaging the trash. He says, I would hide in a 5-foot concrete ditch and the driver would pull up and stop. I would slap the money on him with a $10 tip and we would party. he says they brought us out in the company square and they told us, candidates, we know you're doing something and we will catch you. He said, but they never did. He said, another platoon tried it with pizza and they did get caught, but we never confessed. And we hope we left a legacy for those who came behind us. That is awesome. A&W root beer, that can raise morale no matter where you are. And I tell you too, William, by the way, if the name indeed is William, because I think I'm seeing it in your email address, but nonetheless, William, thank you for that. Thank you for your service. Thanks for the story. And I hope the listeners enjoyed it. It reminds me though, by the way, of a situation that I had at Fort Benning, if I got time to tell it real quick. So we had finished our land navigation training, compasses and all that, compasses, maps, protectors, and the company had pretty much excelled. So we were supposed to come out of the field a day early. Well, you know, the Army, they can't give you a day off, right? So what'd they do? They went to this old, raggedy land navigation course that had not been validated, weren't even sure if all the points were still out there in the woods for you to find, and they said, here's a list, go find your points. And so, you know, it's super hot. It's summertime in Fort Benning, Georgia. We are miserable. I'm out there walking. Well, at the end of the day, I was usually expert on land nav. I only found 3 of my 5 points. These other two guys, who I knew weren't that great at land nav, they came in, they had found 4. But the real story was, they found the first 2, they got on the cell phone, they called one of their girlfriends, she met them out on the far side of the course, picked them up, took them back to the hotel, they sat there and ate watermelon, drank Kool-Aid, watched cartoons for 3 hours, he said. They had her drive them back, put them out on the far side of the course where they walked into the woods, found two more points, and then walked in. I was so mad that I didn't think of it myself. I'm out there slaving trying to find the points. These guys are eating watermelon and watching cartoons, sitting in the air conditioning, loving life. Well, sometimes you got to make yourself laugh. I do not advocate cheating, but nonetheless, what I'm saying is sometimes, folks, when you're overcoming stuff, when you're dealing with things, sometimes you got to find that high side moment where you sort of grab that particular opportunity to find reason to laugh, to do something crazy, get a little moment back there that you sort of own yourself. And so, thanks, William, from being E5 at OCS at Fort Sill, Oklahoma in 1967 for reminding me of what I experienced in roughly 1987, 20 years later at Fort Benning, Georgia. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, coming up here in a second, we're going to be going into what I call a segment on military mandates. There have been some things happening. There have been some stats that you might want to know about. Are the mandates affecting readiness? Depends on who you talk to. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and yep, just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. I got a whole audience of folks out there we call Right Side Ruffians, and we appreciate all of you. And I just sent an email back to the gentleman, William, I believe his name was, who sent that story in about Fort Sill, Oklahoma in 1967. Appreciated it very, very much. Hey, listen, I'm going to the first part of the Triple Dipper here. I'm calling this section military mandates, but it's a little bit broader. I mean, part of what I'm looking at here is what is the Biden administration doing to overall readiness? Why is it so important for us to have a high level of what I would call military readiness right now? Not that we should ever want to be military unready, if you know what I mean. But what is the deal right now in the world in which we live? Well, just earlier, I mean, literally right before the show, I was watching an interview with General Keith Kellogg. He's a former National Security Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence, a retired 3-star, I believe, long career. Basically, he and General Jack Keane are two of the ones that I appreciate the most when I hear their view on, you know, military policy and international policy and where we stand. His words today in regards to a story that said that Iran is demanding vengeance for the death of Soleimani. If you remember, Soleimani is he was the architect of so much world terror. He was the architect of any number of opportunities to undermine U.S. forces in the Middle East and to bring, you know, to try to put some kind of action to the mission of death to Israel that Iran constantly espouses. Well, Soleimani was taken out by a missile strike during the Trump administration. And by the way, General Kellogg pointed out, and you didn't have much trouble from Iran for over a year. Now the Biden administration's in, and they're testing things. And so Iran is demanding today, and you know why they're doing this. Part of it's the leverage. They're trying to gain international notoriety with regards to their negotiations on the nuclear deal. But Iran is demanding vengeance. They want to actually put Pompeo and Trump on trial. Good luck with that. Nonetheless, they're demanding vengeance. At the same time, Iranian drones, though, armed drones, were apparently shot down near a base where American troops are housed in Iraq. And General Kellogg stated that he believed it's likely that Iran will break out with nuclear capability this year. And when that happens, we will have an immediate nuclear arms race in the Middle East. I'm just telling you, folks, it's a dangerous time. You know, Israel has said, the United States has said, but I trust the Israeli leadership more on this issue right now than I do our own, sad to say, in terms of following through on it. But it's been said by both the U.S. and by Israel, they will not allow Iran to gain nuclear capability. Well, in the meantime, you look at our military. Now, I want to point something out to you. I'm going to read you stats, and I'm going to talk about some things that are being said about whether or not the vaccine mandates are having an impact on readiness. Let me describe a couple of things for you as someone who has been inside before, someone who has been in uniform. I have not only served myself for 30 years, I have family members serving now, and I've also been the son of a career officer and the grandson of a career officer. I have watched the Army. I've watched the military for my entire life. Readiness is not just based upon, we have 90% vaccinated. That's not what readiness is going to be based on the situation. You may say, well, we have 90 or 95% vaccination status. Great. That's who's still left. How many dropped their retirement papers? And did we have a brain drain or a capabilities drain of people who would have stayed in longer and augmented the overall capabilities of the force, who chose to get out? I know one right now. An individual called me the other day. He had 16 years. He wasn't even at his retirement point yet, but he had 16 years. And he said, Phil, if I stay in, they're going to put on my record that I was discharged under UCMJ, some type of administrative action. He says, I'm not going to do it. I'm dropping my papers. And those are all over the place. So number one, those who are discharged due to non-vaccination status is only part of it. You also have those who dropped their retirement papers and got out. And then you have those who truthfully would have done more but chose not to. And then you're going to have those who are impacted negatively in some way in their careers, and they're going to stumble along for a little while, but then they're going to get out. And then you're going to have morale. Morale is going to be an issue. And if you see people dropping out left and right, because yes, 10,000 might be a fraction of the overall force, but 10,000 gets felt among the force. And there will be a period of time here where people will say, man, remember so-and-so? Yeah, what happened to him? He got out, dude. Did he really? Yeah. Why? Shots? Dang, man. And it's going to be one of those things that people talk about. And they remember when their leadership didn't give them any slack. And then there's going to be that whole sense that runs along in the ranks of people who applied for a religious exemption because they're told that they're defending the U.S. Constitution. When you enter the military service, you swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. And then when you apply for your own religious exemption, they are blanket denied? How does that work? And then here's the last piece that I'll point out. I've said it before on the show. Readiness is an issue that is different for some units than others. If you say that you have the force 90% vaccinated, well, that's great. What if you're within an elite unit or a small unit or a unit with unique capabilities and the high level of training it takes to get them ready? What if you were, okay, classic example, Navy SEALs. There are any given time, there's only roughly 2,500 Navy SEALs on active duty at any given time. If you have several hundred say they're not getting vaccinated, well, that may be a small percentage of the Navy overall, but it's a big chunk of the Navy SEALs, all right? If you have the troops that run the missile silos, they are very unique, they are highly trained, and they don't come in overnight. They're usually senior in rank, like captains and senior NCOs. And if you have that capability with a limited group, and that limited group has a higher percentage, it may not impact the overall force, but it impacts that unit, which has high mission-ready capabilities. All that to say, folks, the mandates are part of what we're dealing with. Well, some things have happened here. So first of all, let me just tell you this, storyline dated today. Just yesterday afternoon, a federal judge on Monday barred, or basically stopped, the U.S. Department of Defense from punishing a group of Navy SEALs and other special operations members who refused their COVID-19 vaccines on religious grounds. Story off of Reuters. Reuters is saying that U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, which we're going to talk about at 3 o'clock with my friend Matt Clark, but U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, acting in response to a lawsuit filed on behalf of 35 special operators, issued a preliminary injunction blocking the Navy and the Defense Department from enforcing the mandate. Aha! Aha! You hear what I'm saying? So we got the very first one. Now, I recognize that, in my opinion, the military mandate is the hardest one to overcome But these SEALs were all facing a range of military disciplines for refusing the vaccine, but every one of them had applied for a religious exemption. Their attorney said, "The Navy service members in this case seek to vindicate the very freedoms that they have sacrificed so much to protect. And the COVID-19 pandemic provides the government no license to abrogate those freedoms." Well, I'm sorry, that's what the judge said. The judge said that. So folks, number one, understand this. If you're out there listening and you're a military member or you know someone who is and you've applied for a religious exemption and it's getting denied, or you haven't gotten a ruling yet, understand for the very first time yesterday afternoon, a court intervened and said you cannot possibly get away with blanket denials of constitutional grounds. You cannot just simply look away and say, yeah, we're going to grant some exemptions for medical, but not for religious. Because if you're granting some for one kind of exemption and the other one is something that is constitutionally protected, like freedom of religion, maybe, just maybe, you're acting in bad faith. The judge thought so. Here's the next one. I want you to know, too, that a group of 47 Republican lawmakers were backing that lawsuit. They had filed something in court themselves to cover down on this. The story off MilitaryTimes.com. Military Times is saying that literally a number of lawmakers, I think Ted Cruz was in it, Senator Jim Imhoff from Oklahoma was in it, they had all filed a brief in that case. Very uncommon, by the way. It's not uncommon for them to write a letter or something like that. They actually filed something. They filed a brief, an amicus brief, they call that. And I think that's significant. I got a caller on this topic right now. Hey, it's Steve from Tennessee. Hey, Steve, Phil Williams from Right Side. Hey, how are you today, man?
Real quick on the comment about readiness, you didn't say anything about recruiting. And I will guarantee you, with, you know, you pull to any corner of Huntsville right now and you look in four directions, you're going to see hiring, hiring, hiring. They can get a job anywhere. And a lot of these folks are sitting back and thinking, you know what, I don't want to stick my head or my rear end in the middle of this because I don't want somebody necessarily having that much control over me. I don't like the way this is going. I think I'll pass. I believe that's going to happen. You watch the recruit numbers plummet.
That's a great point. In fact, I wonder when the year-end recruiting numbers are going to come out, because the mandate controlled, what, about the last quarter of the year, August, or thereabouts, maybe the last two quarters? That's going to be very interesting.
I don't know when
they
come out, but people bite their nails about it all the time in the Pentagon. I served in military personnel policy, and we were churning on those numbers all the time. And one other thing, the cost of the training that goes into these, like a SEAL, I don't know what the cost per head is, but it's way up there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not trivial.
No, it's not trivial at all. In fact, I found that one time. I did that in a segment about 3 or 4 months ago. I'm going to go back and look for that. That's a great point. But, yeah, you're right, man. I'd forgotten about that. In terms of readiness, you're also hitting recruiting. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call, man. Good job. Thank you. All right, hey, Copper, take us to a break. We come back. I'm going to continue moving on with this whole military mandate thing. It affects our readiness. Don't think it doesn't. They can say it doesn't. They can say they're not concerned. They feel like they're heading in the right direction. Okay, I get it. We're going to be here tomorrow. Our military is still going to be strong. Guess what? It could have been a whole lot stronger. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. The News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, and according to the stats we've seen, this is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, all because of you. Thank you so much for that. Hey, listen, it's kind of interesting. I'm sitting here right now doing this story on military mandates. Talked to you just a moment ago about the lawsuit that were filed by 35 Navy SEALs and the fact that they won an injunction to cause a cease and desist upon the Department of Defense. And as we went to break, bam, that same story is now the number one story up on Fox News. Doing an exclusive with Martha McCallum on Fox is the attorney from First Liberty Institute who was able to prevail so far in court. Good on him. Way to go, sir. But it's kind of interesting to me that we're doing the story, and it's also the same story up on Fox. That's just because we're that kind of show. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, right before the show, aside from seeing General Kellogg, I paused for a moment and made myself watch President Biden's comments. He addressed the nation about COVID, and it was awful. I mean, I don't think the man could lead people out of a burning building. The whole thing was like this. Just get the shot. Just get the shot. Get your kids get a shot. Don't you know? It's the pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated. And he kept doing that over and over again. The pandemic of the unvaccinated. I got news, sir. It is not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. You cannot use that line anymore. If the vast majority of the people in this country have had the shot and the variants are still causing infection, and people who have had the shot are getting infected, thank you very much. I've got one friend right now who is a nurse who has been vaccinated, had COVID, got boosted, has now been diagnosed for a third time with COVID. Tell me what good it is doing to get Navy SEALs kicked out of the service if you're not stopping things with the shot. Now, I know what they'll say. Well, they're not in the hospital as long. Cool. So we're going to ruin our economy and just jack up our military readiness for a shot that apparently doesn't do anything, but yet to President Biden, it's still the vaccination, the unvaccinated. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. What a classless line. I'm so ready to have somebody in there who can give a speech too, by the way. Well, I wonder if he knows when he said that his own Secretary of Defense just tested positive. I mean, does he know that? And I don't want anybody, by the way, testing positive, so I'm not making light of that, but Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin just announced on Sunday afternoon that he has tested positive for COVID-19. He was vaccinated and boosted. Thank you very much. In a statement Sunday night, Austin said that he plans to attend key meetings and discussions virtually in the coming week to the degree possible. He's having mild symptoms. He's going to quarantine for at least 5 days, as recommended by the CDC. He's 68 years old. And he got his booster in October. Here it is. Yep. And he went on to say, though, the vaccines do work. No. maybe they mitigate. Let's stop saying it's a vaccine. It's almost like more of a, to me, it's almost getting to the point of it's like taking a cough drop. I mean, I don't know. The vaccines work and remain a military medical requirement for our workforce, he said. I continue to encourage everyone eligible for a booster shot to get one. This remains a readiness issue. Well, speaking of readiness, another legal matter that did not go in the favor of those trying to avoid the vaccine mandate. If you remember, Oklahoma has said that the Oklahoma governor will not enforce the vaccine mandates against his own National Guard and has petitioned the Department of Defense for an exemption. The judge in that particular case just ruled against Oklahoma and said that they would be hard put to find the public interest served by entry of an order prohibiting the implementation of a vaccine mandate, which adds, in the judge's words, one FDA-approved vaccine to the list of nine. Okay, first of all, that's not the point. It's not the point that there's already nine other. Just take one more. Well, how about this? There was only a 10-foot drop on that first jump. Why don't I go ahead and make a 20-foot drop on the next one? That makes no sense. So maybe that's a bad analogy, but what I'm saying here is because you take nine other highly approved, researched, and non-protested vaccines does not mean we should add another one to the list, and that's justice for you? That's not justice. But anyway, nonetheless, the judge did not find their case to be of merit and said he will not issue an injunction. So Oklahoma is in a dilemma. I believe Texas is in that boat with them. By the way, Alabama is not. Alabama's governor, who is the commander-in-chief for National Guard in the state, and the adjutant general for the state of Alabama, she recently came out and said that she will not be following suit like Oklahoma. She is requiring the mandate to be enforced on Alabama National Guard troops. So there you go. All right, folks. Listen, we're going to keep going down this line with my buddy Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He'll be calling in top of the hour here. Come back from the news. We'll unpack this from a legal perspective. Get Matt's view on this Navy SEALs case along with a few other developing legal challenges to the vaccine mandates and see what he's got to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.